2017. Welcome, everybody. Like, just like the class, you're all sitting in the back of the room. Today what we're going to be talking about, we're going to have an organizational meeting, introduce our committee members, and then have a public hearing on a couple of events or a couple of bills. So first of all, I open an organizational meeting to adopt the committee rules. And since our other chair isn't here, the committee rules are on your desk if you need to look over them.
Are you prepared to take a motion?
Yes, I am, sir.
Let's do that. Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the proposed committee rules.
Okay. Representative Wilson moves to adopt the committee rules. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. I'm not going to do a vote of the House on this one, on the roll call. But with that, they are adopted. Thank you very much. And so the motion fails, or the motion passes.
We're just testing if we're
doing this at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, so what we're going to be doing now is introduce the committee, and I'm looking forward to a very productive year this year. So if you wanted to start down at the end, if you want to introduce yourself and say where you're from.
I am Representative Janine Salmon. I'm from House District 30, which is Beaverton, Aloha, Hillsboro, Havasia, Orenco, North Plains, up to Banks, Washington County. I am excited to be here serving on this committee. I am an 8-year school board member with Hillsboro School District, fourth largest district in Oregon, and I'm ready to roll up the sleeves and get to work.
Rich Vile, House District 26. Shoals, Sherwood, Wilsonville, South Hillsboro, fastest growing district in the state, probably 20,000 new households a year for the foreseeable future. Former school board chair of the Groner School District, if anyone here is old enough to remember that, and glad to be here.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Paul Evans, I represent House District 20 in the legislature. This is my second term. It includes Monmouth, Independence, West Salem, South Salem. And we may not be the fastest growing, but I like to think House District 20 is one of the prettiest districts in the state.
Representative Carl Wilson, House District 3. That would be Grants Pass, Cave Junction, Merlin, Murphy, Williams, O'Brien. Yeah, O'Brien.
Did you lose one?
Yeah. No, I got them all. I've been around here before. I did three terms back in the late 90s into the early 2000s. Then I took 13 years off back in the family business, which happens to be radio stations. Have two of those down in Grants Pass, celebrating their 60th year in the family. And so radio is what I do when I'm not doing this. So happy to be back on the Education Committee after being here last term.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Diego Hernandez. I am from East Portland. I have four school districts in my district, and that's Reynolds, Park Rose, Centennial, and David Douglas. I currently serve on the Reynolds School Board and about to finish my 4 years, but I will be continuing to serve for hopefully another 4 years. Something unique about my district is very, very diverse. I can't even tell you how many languages my district has, but it's over 400. So I call it the multicultural and mighty East Portland.
I'm Sherry Springer, State Representative from House District 17. And since Representative Wilson named his towns, I'll name mine. I have more. Scio, Staten, Sublimity, Gates, Mill City, Lyons, Detroit, Idana, and then Waterloo, yes, Waterloo, Sweet Home, and Lebanon. That should be 8, Madam Chair, or 11, Madam Chair. Love the district. Been doing it for a little bit now. I am happy to be back on this committee. I was wondering if I wanted to do education anymore, because in the 9 years I've been here, I don't know if our kids are any better off. Yeah. And so I've been wrestling with that a little bit.
That's why you're back here.
And maybe that's, well, enough said. But I do love education, and because that's what our kids need to be successful.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you.
My name is Susan McLean. I'm Representative McLean from House District 29, which is West Washington County, and that would be Forest Grove, Cornelius, and Hillsboro. And I was a teacher for 42 years, and I'm still volunteering with the speech and debate team at Glencoe High School. And I believe that education is not just the foundation of our communities, but it also connects to everything from jobs and economic issues and just being able to have a better, more humane, and I guess I would say compassionate community are people who really look at others, appreciate them, celebrate them, and really appreciate the kind of diversity that we can have. Our districts, the two school districts that I have anywhere from 49 to 51% Latino in our schools at this point. And we have a lot of challenges, but I still believe that if we can keep working, that those students will have better opportunities and will have more access and also more opportunities that will allow them to have better careers. And we're working hard on cradle to career type of education, where we're giving things from preschool all the way up to getting people into good paying jobs. So that's why I'm here, and I'm also ready to roll up my sleeves.
Okay, thank you. So I'm Julie Parrish. I'm the state rep from House District 37. We have three school districts in our district. I have half of the Westland Wilsonville district that Representative Vile has the other half. I have half of the Tiger Tualatin district, which the chair has the Tiger side. And I have one school in Lake Oswego School District in the River Grove community. So we're all Westland, all of Tualatin, some of the surrounding areas and some of the rural surrounding areas. I have three teenagers right now in public schools. And they have been sort of chartered and homeschooled, chartered and public schools and a variety of things in between. My oldest is also at Clackamas Community College, trying to quickly get out of high school. I'm a universal school choice supporter, which money should follow the child, I believe, and so I'm interested in policies that move us that direction and for more customized education for kids. I'm a board member for Building Excellent Schools Together, and I used to be Queen of the Lunch Ladies in the Westland Wilsonville School District. I ran the school food service program, and my husband is currently the part-time science, middle school science fair coordinator in our district. So,
okay. Thank you. And I'm Margaret Doherty. I represent House District 35, which is Tigard and Southwest Portland from PCC down in Multnomah Village. And I would like to introduce our new committee administrator.
Yeah.
You can introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alethea Miller. I'm going to be the House Education Analyst. I work with the Legislative Policy Research Office and support all the committee members and the chair in this committee. So really excited to be here.
Okay. Thank you. And just kind of briefly, some of the expectations. Those of you that have served with me on the Education Committee before know I'm a real stickler for time, and so we always get out on time or early. And I also want to start on time, so if we can do that. And a little bit of a kind of philosophy of what education is looking like this from my perspective, this session is, it's going to be a challenging session financially and with other things. And being a former educator and then working with teachers for another and classified for another 25 years after that, is that we're kind of looking at maybe slowing down the age of unfunded mandates for schools, because I think this might be the only agency, the only group, the only whatever in state government that we tell them they have to do something and that there's absolutely no financial support for it. And so that's kind of a little bit of a philosophy. But look very, very carefully at bills and especially what the fiscal outcome of them will be. But I'm expecting we're going to have a good year, and I'm very pleased and proud to have all of you serving. So with that, I'm going to close the organizational meeting and open up a public hearing on House Bill 2257. Do we have a summary of that by any chance?
Yes, we do. Chair Doherty, members of the committee, House Bill 2257 allows the Department of Education to waive the fee for a textbook title or an instructional material if the title is a teaching and learning resource that is available in the public domain or has been released under an intellectual property license that permits its free use. This bill allows the fee waiver from the Department of Education if the textbook format resides in the public domain or has been considered an intellectual property license. This bill goes into effect upon passage.
Okay, thank you. So we have signed up Jan McComb and Jeremy Waits. Welcome back.
Thank you. Chair Doherty, members of the committee. For the record, Jan McComb from the Oregon Department of Education, and with me today is Jeremy Wartz. He is the department's instructional materials coordinator. And we're here to ask for your support for House Bill 2257. This may be the only bill you hear this session where a state agency is asking to waive a fee and not increase a fee. This bill was drafted at the request of our instructional materials department. The staff in charge of that department is responsible for reviewing all of the instructional materials that are adopted by the state. Now, as you might know, the State Board of Education approves a list of approved instructional materials. And in order to develop that list, publishers submit their materials to the department, and staff and teachers that we have come in review those materials and see whether they align with the state standards. School districts don't have to adopt from that list, but if they don't, they have to do their own independent evaluation of the instructional materials, and that can prove to be difficult for small districts especially. They just don't have the resources to do that, and so this list is very helpful to them. State law requires the department to charge a fee equal to the retail price or $50, whichever is greater, for each item per grade of instructional materials submitted. So that can add up. These days, there's more open educational resources available for free online, and these are created by teachers and nonprofits. And the U.S. Department of Education recently launched an initiative that encouraged school districts to use, develop, and share high-quality open educational resources. That's what they're called, OERs. However, because we have to charge a fee, and because these entities are nonprofits, they're not incentivized to apply to have the materials added to our list of approved instructional materials. So a lot of great materials aren't being added to the list. Jeremy, you want to talk about one example?
Yeah, sure. Chair Doherty and members of the House Committee. For example, there is...
If you want to stop.
Jeremy Wartz, I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
I'm with the Department of Education. The science teachers in Forest Grove and Beaverton have developed a high school science curriculum. These three school districts, Hillsborough, Gresham, and North Bend, would like to use the high school science curriculum. But due to the fee requirements, the districts would be forced to evaluate the curriculum themselves and independently adopt. This, as we know, requires a lot of work.
So that's just one example. And so as a result, school districts can't take advantage of a lot of wonderful free materials that are out there that make fun, learning more fun and interactive. So House Bill 2257 allows the State Board of Education to waive the fee and place more open source materials on the list of approved instructional materials. And we hope that this will expand the materials available to school districts at no cost to them. So we would urge your support of House Bill 2257.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, no questions of the panel. Thank you very much.
Susan, question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Susan.
The only one I have, I'm completely supportive of the of this particular idea. Do you have any idea what kind of a gap that is in the fees that you get? You know, how much, you know, what kind of a financial, how many fees do we get for things like this?
So Chair Doherty, Representative McLean, right now we don't get any fees because they don't submit.
Great.
Okay. Okay. But you would not add fees?
No.
Correct. Great. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you so very much. Do you want to go or are you going to come back?
I am going to leave, and Emily is going to join you.
Thank you. So with that, I close a public hearing on House Bill 2257, and I open up a public hearing on House Bill 2258, if you have a summary of it.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, House Bill 2258 allows the Department of Education to give funding to nonprofit organizations promoting leadership and career technical education that relate to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education and activities. This bill expands the scope of entities from school districts, education service districts, public schools, public charter schools, community colleges, and public universities to now include nonprofit organizations and any combination to qualify for such departmental funding. This bill takes effect upon passage.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Okay, we have Emily Zavaro. And I probably butchered your name.
Okay. Chair Doherty, members of the committee, my name is Emily Nazarov, and I'm a legislative coordinator with the Oregon Department of Education, and I'm here to speak in favor of House Bill 2258. So the Oregon Career Technical Education Student Leadership Foundation, what I'll call the foundation, is a private nonprofit that was organized to coordinate and distribute grant funding to career technical student organizations, what we call CTSOs, in schools. So examples of CTSOs are Future Business Leaders of America, FFA, DECA for marketing students. Grants to these organizations are typically around $1,100. So prior to 2015, what we would do is ODE would contract with the foundation, and the foundation would administer the grants directly out to the CTSOs. In 2015, the legislature passed House Bill 3072, the big CTE bill. And that bill listed eligible entities that could receive state funds. Nonprofits were not included on the list. So after that bill was passed, what happened was instead of contracting with the foundation, ODE was required to administer those grants directly to the CTSOs. It was about 250 small grants each year. So 2258 simply permits the foundation to receive state CTE grant funds for the purpose of distributing those funds out to these CTSOs. We think this would be beneficial for a couple of reasons. It frees up teachers. If the grant comes directly from ODE, teachers are required to work through our state electronic grant management system, which is designed for much larger size grants and can be time consuming. It frees up ODE staff. Rather than administering these 250 small grants, they can focus on the CTE programs. And the foundation is works more closely with these student organizations and is better positioned to coordinate and target the funding. So thank you for hearing the bill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Any questions? Representative Parrish.
Thank you. So I'm looking at this. It says statewide nonprofit or other nonprofit. So in our community, we are working right now with a nonprofit. It's one of your they got dollars in the last legislative session. They're serving seven school districts, which would not make them statewide. So would they not be eligible? I mean, we did that as a direct appropriation to them. So would they not be eligible under this bill as a nonprofit? Because they're not statewide.
Chair Doherty, I'm Representative Parrish. Which was the
this was the World of Speed. It's the automotive program that's happening there, and that was a direct line item appropriation to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're serving seven school districts in the South Metro region, and looking to add more. And so, but they are a nonprofit entity, and the money is going currently directly to them because we said we're going to directly give it to you. But would this preclude them the way it's written from, because they're more regional and not statewide?
So this bill allows us to distribute to a student leadership, the foundation essentially, or other nonprofit organizations identified by the State Board of Education by rule. So if they were to receive money, it would be through our rulemaking process. We would have to identify them as a nonprofit that would be eligible to receive the funds.
So in your rulemaking process, though, I mean, I appreciate you want to have a million different organizations that you're giving grants to, but I mean, I just don't want to see regional nonprofits that are sort of operating smaller, because we're also, I've got some legislation this year around trying to create some aviation hubs that are similar to what they're doing with the automotive. But again, they'd be regional efforts and not, because you just can't get kids, you know, all over the state to Aurora Airport or whatever. How do we make sure we don't somehow exclude them through this?
You know, Chair Doherty, Representative Parrish, if I could bring up one of my colleagues from the department who is more familiar with the specifics of this grant, would that be okay?
Okay, that would be fine. Okay. And as long as they identify yourself. So in other words, the question is can a nonprofit be a regional nonprofit versus statewide, a state nonprofit? I think that's a question.
Yeah, I just...
Okay,
And to answer that question, as the bill is written, it would have to be the statewide, it says statewide nonprofit, or a nonprofit identified by the state board through rule. And so as the bill is written, it would have to go through our ODE rulemaking process in order for that nonprofit to be eligible to receive funds.
Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair.
That's your question. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along those same lines, and I don't have a particular entity that I have in mind that I could name, it's a pretty exhaustive list. In the original language, and then adding this, who could be left out of this, and I think we just touched on a possibility, but who else could be left out?
Chair Doherty, Representative Springer, I was involved in implementation of House Bill 3072, and the only nonprofits were the only organizations that I heard of during that implementation process that were upset that they were excluded from the list. I don't have any particular in my mind that I can think of. I know that with ODE, not having the foundation be an eligible recipient was, we had to change our process for dealing with that. But I don't know of a specific nonprofit that was not eligible and came to ODE and was upset about that.
Could I follow up and clarify?
The clarifying part of that is I'm not just talking about nonprofits, any
okay.
entity, because anytime you get a list with six, seven pieces, then you've got to mm-hmm. ask yourself, who isn't on that list, and should they be on that list?
Sure.
Share with me the thinking behind the word statewide nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Why was the word statewide chosen?
Chair Doherty, Representative Springer, this is where I'd like to bring up my colleague because I think she can explain okay. the nonprofits that are, or how these CTSOs are chartered and how that works. Would that be okay?
Sure, no problem.
Okay. And I'm bringing up Donna Brandt. She's an education specialist with the Department of Education. She works in our CTE and STEM programs.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Doherty and the committee. My name is Donna Brandt. I work at the Oregon Department of Education with CTE and STEM investments, and I've been responsible for administering the grants having to do with House Bill 3072. The question I think before us was about the language and targeting specifically statewide nonprofits. And if you read the rest of that, organizations promoting student leadership in career and technical education. We were specifically trying to open up this language to allow the foundation to be the recipients of grant funds to administer those grants. We weren't intentionally trying to add any others or exclude any others. We were just trying to fix this language to allow us to continue that process of working with the foundation.
So could I follow up on that?
Okay, Representative Springer, then Representative Parrish.
What would be the implications from your perspective of omitting the word statewide? Good, sure. bad, or indifferent?
Chair Doherty and Representative Springer, I think it would open up the door to all nonprofits, basically, that dealt with student leadership organizations, and so therefore spreading out perhaps the investment. But really, this was more for the student leadership organizations, and I'm not aware of any other foundation that's involved or a nonprofit that's involved in student leadership work. That's just me personally.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Parrish?
Well, so help me out then. So Student Leadership Foundation, now I guess I'm a little bit more confused. So basically there's only one statewide nonprofit that we're talking about to do this work. And so I see DECA, FBLA, what have you, I guess, does this foundation serve all of the 197 school districts right now, currently, effectively, as one? Sometimes we've had bills in this committee before in years past where we draft language that's without naming names, it's just for one organization, and that does concern me. When there are sort of the opportunity to have more regional, obviously for lots of reasons, geographic, neighboring community school districts to come together and do this work outside of a statewide organization, I'd be open to regional language in here as well.
Chair Doherty, Representative Parrish, there are six state-recognized, I guess there's seven now, they're recognized by the State Board of Education. They're chartered student leadership organizations. Those include FFA, DECA, FBLA, those that are listed there, plus one more that's just recently been added, which has to do with the forestry students.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the only eligible student leadership organizations that are eligible to receive grant funding. And so the foundation has a representative from each of those organizations on the foundation board, and they represent all of the student leadership organizations that are chartered across the state. So they do provide professional development, student leadership development activities statewide. They travel across the state. They touch all corners of the state of Oregon.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Representative Vile, then Representative McLean.
Sherwood, for example, has got the Bowman House that they, their construction guys get interested in build. AGC's been the primary funder of that. They're doing it through AGC's nonprofit arm that supports CTE. I was about to say, let's strike the word statewide, and this makes sense, until I heard that it's then still all funneling through a single organization with probably not the opportunity to look at something like that AGC arm as a recipient. Am I right on that?
Chair Doherty, Representative Vile, I think if I understand you correctly, this is one of the grant opportunities available through the CTE grants. And so for this one grant opportunity that we're talking about, where the foundation distributes grants to the CTSOs, the house that you're talking about in Sherwood would not be eligible for this grant because it is not a student organization at the school, a career technical student organization at the school.
It is,
there are
though.
Other
in that one it is.
And Chair Doherty, Representative Vile, I believe that in the construction trades, the CTSO that works with them is called Skills USA, and they may have a group of students that participate in Skills USA and therefore would be eligible for these grants.
Okay.
Okay, Representative McLean, then Representative Wilson, then Representative Springer.
The two things that I held on to in the beginning of the actual presentation was that we were trying to do things that would free up teachers to do other things and to work on these programs, and to also free up Department of Education staff, because we would be allowing this organization that has been okayed by our state education board to basically be the type of grant that we want to give money to. And so my understanding is what it's doing, it's making it so that our group that we support and think is important, the CTSO, is basically going to be handling those grants, giving those grants out, and giving them directly to the leadership groups.
Chair Doherty, Representative McLean, yes. It basically takes us back to the practice that was in place before House Bill 3072 was passed, where we contract with the foundation distributes the grants to those CTSOs.
And so I guess my comment there is that this is a specialized group of student leadership programs that we've vetted, that we say are important to the overall effort for our career development in the state of Oregon, and all we're doing is trying to make it a more efficient delivery system. One that's not going to have duplication of staff, and it's not going to have duplication of administration, and it's not going to have a teacher have to use a difficult, you know, basic, very large system at the state level that's for large grants when these are very small pieces of dollars that are going to them. So I have to say, in my understanding, we're not leaving out the opportunities that two or three of you have talked about. Those dollars were assessed to be necessary for these student leadership groups for these particular CTE programs. And so I would be in support of that because we're saving effort, energy, and I think probably overall dollars.
I think that was a comment. Okay. Representative Wilson, then Representative Springer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a clarification on page 2 of the bill, paragraph 5, where the entities are listed that will be targets of the distribution. We've got school districts, ESDs, public schools, public charter schools, community colleges, public universities, and then, of course, the aforementioned statewide nonprofit organizations. Virtual and online schools are not mentioned there, and private schools are not mentioned there either. How do I interpret that? They're just simply not eligible, or what?
Chair Doherty, Representative Wilson, if the online or virtual school is a public, or the charter school is a public charter school, they would be eligible for funds.
Okay. Representative Springer.
Thank you. And This is more of a statement slash question to you, Madam Chair. What I'm struggling with here is, I think maybe I'm not the only one, trying to wrap my head around what this foundation is, mm-hmm. where it came from and what it does and what's its mission. So I Googled it, and I didn't come up with the foundation. I came up multiple times, came up with career and technical student organizations. And so I went through it, and I can find, you know, some department stores and so forth, find organizations that support it. But what I'm not finding, and what I'd like to understand, and I think it will help me at least move through this process, is to understand what that foundation is, who, not by name, but by role, who it is comprised of, what their goals are, what their mission is, that kind of stuff. And I find it interesting. I can't find it. Am I just not being smart enough?
No. Chair Doherty, Representative Springer, I'd be happy to provide that information to you, and I can send that through your committee administrator.
It would help me to understand what this foundation is, because I can't put it in pieces together here.
Well, that would be because as I'm looking for this, whatever the foundation is, they only deal with student leadership
these
as opposed
organizations.
To when they give out grants, as opposed to, and my understanding, as opposed to a carpentry program that, mm-hmm. you know, or a welding program or something like this. So it's more the purpose of this foundation that gives out these grants that would add a nonprofit is for student leadership. Is that the main purpose?
Representative, yes.
Okay, thank you. So you're going to get us some information back?
Yes.
Okay, to answer questions. Do we have any more questions on here? So what I've heard is that virtuals and would be under, if they're a public, virtual would be under public mm-hmm. schools and under public charters. Mm-hmm. We've got questions as to, you know, what is the foundation and so on and so forth, and then also questions as to whether the word statewide and some clarification on that. So does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you can get that to us, and our committee administrator will give it out to the rest of the committee.
Thank
Any
you.
Other questions of this panel? Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Anyone else to speak on House Bill 2258? Okay, with that, I close the public hearing on House Bill 2258, and I believe that is it for today's agenda. It was kind of a short agenda just to get going, and so that's where we are. You guys got a little time. With that, I'm closing the meeting of the House Education Committee. A little time. With that, I'm closing the